Accession number 30398, Mr. Nathan Ritz, Real 6. Now, we're talking about the time at the Sammy Chon. They're picking up some other things. Now, we've done most of the duties you did. We'll come to some more stories about that as well.
Yeah.
But can I ask a bit about the conditions in the line? Now, what was your dugout or bunker like?
It was bunker. It was dug into the ground, and then you put the same thing with the roof on. Beds we made out of wire from our cable. We used a wireless used to thread it so you had a bed, and then we had sleeping bags, which were all filled, because it had been so cold in the winter, we had sleeping bags all filled with feathers. And it's the first time I'd ever seen a sleeping bag. And all our kit was fantastic for the...
Hang on, how many would there be in the dugout? I
mean, there was four of us in this dugout.
Now, tell me about the cold weather and the special...
Oh, the cold weather.
I mean, when you got out there, it was still cold then.
Oh, it was freezing. I mean, it used to go sometimes as 30 below. I mean, they used to have to run the motor vehicles all night in case they froze over.
Now,
they'd keep the engines
what
running.
What does that mean? Because people can't understand what 30 degrees below is. What does it mean to you when you're a soldier?
Bloody cold. Oh, it was freezing. It was. But mind you, the equipment we had, the British equipment, was better than the Americans, because when they climbed Mount Everest, Hillary took all our equipment and he used it on Everest, and he just said, it is so good, I'm going to use it. And he did, because we used to have a Parker. The thing used to come over and it had a strip in it that you could turn the face of it this way when the wind and turn it that way.
It had a metal in the rim.
In the rim itself. So we had a hood over.
And you could bend it.
You could bend it one way when the wind come one way. It was very cleverly thought out. I know it's funny. The actual Parker had like a long thing at the back, like a towel coat, and you could bring it right up and you could...
Round your groin.
Groin, and you could button it. But the Americans didn't have anything like this, you see. They just had a Parker, you see. But they said ours was the best Parker. It was so well... The trousers
now,
were...
Parkers were unusual then. I mean, they're not unusual. Well, they weren't unusual.
Oh, they used them. The mods and the rockers used them. They used them after the war because they didn't know what to do with them.
Now, you were saying about the trousers, sorry.
Well, first of all, we had long johns on. Then, over the long johns, we had another pair of, like, woolen trousers. Then we had these trousers. Every joint had triple patches on. They were all made of nylon, I mean, because they couldn't afford to get soaking wet. And the boots, we walked on inside the boot was like that. Inside, they had a wedge. And metal, so that if the boot ever leaked, it wouldn't touch your feet. See, that's a very cleverly pulled out, this was. We had mittens, like all wool, that fitted with, thing that fitted right around there, so that they didn't fall off, so one wouldn't fall off. Whoever thought it out, thought... And then we had a little jacket underneath, which zips right through, which virtually people wear today. And we put it, and that was all padded out, like... In the thing, and we had string vests as well, and they were a killer because they used to dig into your skin because it was like pockets of hot air, and we used to wear these string vests. I've never seen a string vest. It was made of actually a string. That's what we call this. And we had all these clothing on, and it kept us really warm. We were very good. As I said, they clamped Mount Everest. If they did that, then they must have thought very highly of it. Whoever invented it was very clever, I tell you.
So that's the cop. What about food? What food?
We had American sea rations. Ours were K rations. Americans were C rations. And we used to get a box like this, which would last us all day. And it had three meals on it, in it like that, plus 20 cigarettes, plus a bar of chocolate. But the British one wasn't up to the American one. The American one was the best. And you opened it up, and you had a little thing. And you put a candle wick, and something lit it. I can't remember what it sort of self lit, and then you put open the tin with a tin opener it had, and in it you might have frankfurters and thing, beans, all different meals. And this is what you lived on all day long. Remember, you sometimes got a meal in the mess, but it was such a bad meal. I mean, the cooking was poor.
Did you, were you used to the American diet? Because the Americans ate different things from what we did.
Well, we never ate them, but once we ate them, we got used to them. We never seen frankfurters before. We didn't know what they were, but they were sausage. something that we used to get. They had all different dishes in these little tiny tins, and then you'd get a sweet in one, or you might get peaches in one of them. You might get something else in another. I mean, all these things that were rationed in England were in these tins. The British one was wasn't all that good. The chocolate was Cadbury's, and it was like eating bloody bricks. It was so hard, you had to break it. It was terrible. But the American chocolate and the 20 cigarettes that we got, the British had a tin cigarette, like you might get Capstan, or you might get Pliers, or you might get Woodbines. Not that they were big, all in tin, and then you'd open it with an opener and the tin would come out. Not all of us smoked, I did smoke. All those who didn't want, they used to give it to me, so I had extra, they cost you nothing, you know.
How much were you smoking then? Did you smoke more out there?
Oh, I smoked a lot out there, yeah.
How many?
I can't remember, whatever it was a lot. Because all these tins were free, and I just smoked one after the other.
When had you started smoking?
Oh, when I was about 11.
Did you smoke more in the army?
Yeah. But when I came out, I cut it right the way down, because I couldn't afford to spend the money that I was getting all these cheap cigarettes in. I mean, when I came home, I had over 2,000 cigarettes in my case.
Now, so what about other rations? Did you get a rum ration when it was
Yes, cold? Every day we got a rum ration.
How was that issued?
Sergeant would come round with it, and you got a tot of rum. I can't remember what he put it in, and you get then in Mrs.
Were you allowed to keep it?
No, you had to drink it while he was there, because you weren't allowed to keep it, so you just drink it.
Did you like rum?
Yeah. I didn't at first. It was navy rum. It wasn't the rum you buy in the shop. You could put a spoon in, it would hold up. It was so thick. But you got used to it. Oh, you know, I like this because it kept you warm. You know, it made you warmer. Because, I lost a hell of a lot of weight. I mean, some of the pictures, people couldn't believe how thin I was. I was really thin.
Now, why were you losing so much weight?
Well, I wasn't getting enough food, weren't you? It's as simple as that. I mean, the rations they gave you, I mean, you could imagine these little tins. They're K rations. They keep you alive. That's about all, you know. But to feed, I mean, even the food that we used to get that used to was poor, very poor. Mostly we used to get mincemeat. That was the bit most of the time we got. I mean, we got very little choice of anything. There was no time to cook anything, were they? They were just trying to... The officers and the sergeants got all the best food, and we got hardly anything. I mean, we used to go in there and pinch their tins. They used to have lovely tins of bloody peaches, or Australian, or Canadian, or American. Where they got it all from, I don't know.
Now, how did you get your drinks? I mean, was it as tea, or what?
Tea, yeah. What
was the army tea like? People make a big fuss about it.
Well,
how good or bad was it?
It was good because, first of all, a lot of the time we made it ourselves. And that sergeant shows her. He said, I'm going to teach you when we're how to make a product. If you don't make good tea, he said, I'll kill you. And he showed us how to make this tin in a big thing, because it was all condensed milk. It wasn't cow's milk. And he said, I'll show you one more trick. And he used to get old matchsticks and throw them in. He said, that draws the tea. I don't know what he meant, but it tasted bleeding good.
So
either.
How did you make it then? I mean, what was his recipe?
He boiled up the water in this big canister thing, you know, boil it out, or in your little billy can, which you've got billy cans, and then you get the tea, because it wasn't tea bags in it was tea. You put the tea in, and it would all boil up with the tea, and then you get the condensed milk, pour it into your taste, and then sugar. Well, you could either put sugar in, or you didn't have to, and then you'd throw these matches in, and that which he said, and it, I always did it after that, and people used to say, throwing those matches. I said, well, he showed me, he said that, and he said, he said, yeah, you're right, it does work.
They hadn't been burnt, the matches.
No, they were proper matches that he took the end off and just threw them in.
Just the wood?
Just the wood.
Not the phosphorus?
No. Just the wood. You just throw the wood in, and when you take the tea, just throw them out. But it, I don't know what it did, but he was right.
Did you get a beer ration?
No. Now, you buy beer. You can buy beer from them. Nappy came up to the
front. Even to the front?
Yeah. They used to come up. I admire them because they came up in these vans. They used to come not right to the front line, but they came to a certain point where you went and you could buy cigarettes from them, sweets, shoe pot, you know, all different things from them. You could buy. They'd make you a cup of tea and you'd drink a cup of tea. They'd give you a wad. What we used to call was a sandwich or a piece of cake. You know, something, you know, which we didn't see before. And they, And it was all men. No women ever came up to the front. All men. And I remember on my 20th birthday, I got a parcel came from England. My mum had sent it. She went. What they had to do, they had to go to the NAFI in England. And they said, we will make up the parcel for you because we know what they like. And they said, how much do you want to spend? And she said, 15 shillings, which was nothing today, but then it was quite, and they'd make up this parcel for 15 shillings. And then the post boat ran out and said, got a parcel for you? Boom, boom, opened it up. Oh, right, we got sweets and everything in here.
What was in? What'd she put in? They
put sweets, cigarettes. Oh, I don't know what else. I know there's sweets and cigarettes, but I can't think of anything else there. I know there's lots of sweets, different sweets. And because I handed them around, we was all
did
eating.
Did you get any other parcels from home?
No. We used to get sometimes, we used to get parcels from the WVS.
What would they put in?
Knitted things, which were absolutely hopeless. They weren't worth anything. They didn't do, I mean, knitted mittens, which were useless. You know, wool. I mean, but they had, I mean, they had, the thought was there. Balaclavas they used to send. Scarves they used to send. I mean, they were trying to help us, obviously, but...
Now, did you write home to your mother and family?
Yeah, and my cousin I always wrote to, and she used to write to me.
And what would you write about? I mean, you're
censored. Well, it was censored. You couldn't say where you were. You couldn't do... Oh, because I'd signed... Oh, that's right, when I was a senior, I had to sign the secret, which... I asked them about a few years ago. She said, technically, you are still liable if you did anything, but I don't think they'd do anything to you now. So yeah, I had to... I remember they got me into this bloody room, the sergeant, and on the call, and he said, read it, and I read it. He said, do you understand it? No, I don't really understand it. I said, yeah. He said, well, if you ever say anything, we will execute you here, and all your parents would know is you died on the front line. If you ever divulge any of these things that you hear. And I thought, oh my God. And for years I used to think, there's a knock on the door, there's somebody coming after me, you know.
Now, what, so you'd write home, what would you write about?
Well, as I say, we were only, we couldn't write about what was going on. We just said, oh, I'm fine, Mum, and things, the weather's freezing cold, or where it was baking, because in the summer it was completely the other way around.
Now, what about letters from home? How important were they to
you?
Oh,
very important, because that's the one thing you look forward to, because some little voice from somewhere else tells you some other news or what. Oh, she used to tell me what was going on at home. But my mum was a very good letter writer. She was very colloquial. She could write, you know, and you'd read it, and it was reading like reading a book. She'd tell you exactly what goes on, and it was fantastic. She was very good at that, you know.
Did you get letters from anyone else? Your cousin?
My cousin, yeah. She was the one down living in Spain. She used to write to me regular. And that's all. I didn't have any other family. I didn't know anybody else.
Now, what about the latrines? We're just picking up things from life.
Oh, they were dug.
What were they like?
Oh, they were basic. The most basic thing you can get. They were just holes to the ground, wooden things over the top. When you went there, you just sat on it, and then they'd fill them in and dig somewhere else, you know, this is it. It was very basic, very, very basic. But something you got used to, didn't think about it. All the things that you did, I think, you accepted. It's most peculiar. I mean, here you think, oh, I don't know. You moan at everything, don't you? Didn't moan about anything. We moan at everything. Oh, what is the point?
What about showers or bathing or washing?
No, never got. First shower I ever had was 6 months after I shaved in my tin helmet. I shaved him. I used to boil up wool. Well, they liked you to shave. They didn't like you to be.
How'd you do it then?
Well, we'd boil up the water in your billy can, pour it in your tin helmet, and you even wash in the tin helmet as well. That's all. And for 6 months, I never even had a. Then they sent us behind the lines, and we went and we had these mobile showers. One of the blokes.
I'll come back to that.
Yeah, the mobile showers.
What about washing in the trenches?
Very hard. I mean, sometimes we couldn't even wash at all because we were under fire or we were on duty or didn't. The best thing I had when I was in hospital in Japan, I different kettle of fish, you see. you know, we used to about to shave and wash properly, and you know.
But
you,
it was difficult in the line.
Yeah.
Now, was there any trouble with lice or anything
else?
Yeah. Was it lice?
Yeah.
Why were they a nuisance?
Well, because they used to live on you, didn't they? From the when we went, my friend Jack, it was terrible when they had to de-louse you. You felt so deflated from it. You thought, I've been a clean person all my life. And now they took all your clothes and burnt them and deloused you. I mean, we used to have rats like that that ran around.
Now, tell us about so the lice. Did it itch when you had lice?
Yeah, it did, but you got used to it. We had certain powders that we could pour over ourselves. They gave us powders.
Did they work?
They did, to an extent, funnily enough. They did, yeah.
You mentioned rats. Were they a problem?
Oh, God. We used to set traps for them. One night I was in my thing sleeping, and I went, bang! And this bloody rat, I never seen it. It was big as a cat, it was. Cut his head right down like that. I thought, oh, God. Oh, that's right. One night I was on patrol, and a bloody great python went right through my legs and nearly knocked me over. And the next day, the Koreans captured it, and they ate it. That was a delicacy. You want to see the size of this part? I thought, oh, my God, it could have bloody all crushed me to death. It just went straight through my legs and nearly knocked me off.
What about snakes?
Yeah, little, you had to be careful. These bootleg snakes. That's right, when before you put your shoes or any boots on, bang, 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 because they got in your boot and they bit you. That was and the flies and the ants were as big as that. They were massive.
Half an inch?
More. They were over an inch, some of them.
And what was the nuisance with them?
No, they didn't bother us. They didn't. Mosquitoes was, because I got malaria when I came out. I didn't realise the mosquitoes.
I'll come to it.
Where is it? Yeah, I've still got it. It's a mosquito bite on my arm.
I'll come to mosquitoes.
Might be an honest arm.
Were flies a nuisance? You mentioned flies.
Oh, yeah. Not a nuisance as such to that extent, but they were around. Blood, and they bit you. They actually bit you. They were mad. You know, our blue bottles are quite a big fly. Well, think of a fly three times as big as that. Everything was bigger. I suppose it's where it is in the, you know. What else was... I once came across... what's the name? Hedgehog, but they didn't look like our hedgehogs. They were completely different, you know. They looked something similar, and it was like, not like our brow, it's like a ginger colour it was. And I thought, oh, and it ran off, you know, and I thought, oh, wild cats were a nuisance. They used to run over you at night. Because we used to come across these villages that were, they'd gone.
We'll come to that.
Yeah.
So, anything else? Any other nuisances?
Oh, there was something else. There was like, they called it, it looked like, what's those things that fly around with double wings? By the ponds, what they called, dragonfly. And these were bigger than dragonfly. They could bite. They said they could bite your finger off. But no trouble from them. But they just warned us what would happen. And also that used to, they said to us, be careful because there's still mines around. And all of a sudden you hear bang.
I'll come to that. Tell me about the mosquitoes. What malaria precautions?
We used to have to take these tablets every day. Paladrin. We had to take, salt tablets as well, because of the heat in the summer. Not in the winter, but in the summer. Sorry.
Now, did you have a net?
Yes, we had a net. We also had spray, which we sprayed them, but it didn't
kill them.
To kill them. And we also had that sort of a liquid sort of thing that we put on our arms and to stop them biting. They used to bite us even more. It used to stink. Oh, it was awful.
And that was a repellent.
That's supposed to have been a repellent. But you know, the army, everything works the other way around. But there you go.
Now, tell me about these salt tablets.
That was
in the summer, was it?
Yeah, we had to have salt tablets every day because of the heat, the sweat. You know, we had to put the salt back into ourselves, so we had to take salt. A lot of the blokes wouldn't swallow them. They didn't like them. We just swallowed them. They weren't very nice. If they sort of burst in your mouth, God, they were awful. But plus, we got some desalinization tablets as well, which we put in water, in our thing, shake it, and it would kill all the bugs, and you could drink the water.
Did they work, do you think?
Yeah, that worked, because we used to put them in the thing. We used to go onto the paddy fields there, so you can imagine what they're like. Take the water, shake it and keep, let it settle for a while, and then it come out pure water. It was good enough to drink. Nobody ever became ill of it.
What would you, you know when you're in the trenches or in your command post, what would you talk about? You know, so there's not much to do, is there, in the current line?
Well, most of the talk was of home, wish we were home, that's right, every night we used to look in the sky because the searchlights were a light at Panmunjom, and we knew they were, and we said, wish they'd get together and get rid of this bleeding war so we could all go home. That was our main gripe, and we used to watch for the, because we said, if the signal they've agreed peace, the searchlight would go out, but it never did go out. The searchlight was always on. And when I went back to Korea, I actually went into Panmunjom, and I actually saw, and I stood one leg on North Korea and one leg on South Korea.
Now, so when you first got to Samichon, what do you remember about that first? Did you ever go on patrols on the Samichon? On the Samichon.
Yeah.
And what were the patrols like? How were they organised? You'd be going as a signaller.
With the officer, I would be with the signaller, because as you say, everywhere he went, I had to go. But touch wood, the patrols that I went, we never encountered anything bad.
What happened on it? I mean, how would you organise it? How many would there be on it?
There'd be the officer, sergeant, corporal, myself, of course, and I think about a platoon. I think it must have been.
So that's a fighting patrol.
A fighting patrol, a platoon. Yeah.
That, would you not go out on the recce patrols then? Would the company signallers do them?
Yeah, I think the company. The HQ signallers didn't do that.
So you'd only go on the big patrols.
Yeah. But
so what would everybody be armed with?
Well, I had a Sten gun, which was as useless as a shot in the side of a barn. They all had a lot of them had rifles. Some had Sten guns. The officer had a pistol. The sergeant had a Sten gun, and the other corporal had a Sten gun. But the others had Lee Enfield rifles. One of them had a Bren gun. There was the operator, and there was two men on a Bren gun. One loaded it while the other fired. And that was it, I think. And we'd go on patrol.
Now, would there be a briefing before you set off? What would the briefing cover? Who would give it?
The officer in charge would give the briefing. He would tell us what we were going out for, what we were out to look for. We're looking to pick up any prisoners. If we pick up a prisoner, which is what really we were after, which we never did find anybody, luckily for me. And they couldn't speak, so they'd bring him back and interrogate if they could get hold of anybody. And they had the same thing. They were after us as well. They were doing the same thing with their patrols. They would go out looking for us. We would be, most of it would be in no man's land.
In the Samichon, there's a river in the middle of it, near the Samichon.
It's the Injim River.
Is the Samichon the same as it's a river Samichon?
Yeah, but there is the Injim that is the main river that runs through it. Because we were just across the border in North Korea, as you know. We were about 5 miles into the North Korean peninsula. We were like that. And we were in this bubble here.
I think that's later when you're at Koang San.
Yeah, when we're in the Samichon Valley, we were this way.
Now, we've just had a look. Of course, the Samichon is just a tributary, a small tributary of the Injim.
That's right. It's like the ISIS with the Thames, isn't it?
Of course. Yeah. And now, did you go across, when you were on a patrol, would you go out to the Samichon? Because they were the other side.
Yeah. We would go out, and then we'd spend, say, 3 hours out, and then we'd come back at dawn or something like that, and then he would report the officer what we did.
Now, what was it like when you were out there? Was it one of the Samichon that you met this python and things like that?
Yeah, when I met the bloody thing, as I say, then he knocked me for six. It went straight through my legs, and I thought, my God, what? And because I knew it was a python because it took so long for him to come through my legs, And then I thought, oh my God. And when I saw these Koreans the next morning parading with this bloody snake, making a whole thing of it, because we had porters. They're all Koreans, as you
are. They're your porters, of course.
We had our own porter, a little soddy.
I thought you meant the North Koreans had caught the snake.
No, we had our own porters that did carry, they used to carry the water. They did loads of little things for us.
They didn't come on patrol, though?
No.
So how long would you be out in no man's land on a patrol?
We could be out 2 hours, we can be out 3 hours, we can be out 4 hours, we can be out 5 hours.
What would you be doing? I mean, would you cross the Samichong?
We would cross the Samichong. We'd be searching, as I said, for their, trying to listen if we could listen into anything from what they were doing. But as I say, we were lucky. We never did come across anybody. We never captured anybody. For the amount of times I went, I never saw any of the North Koreans at all.
So you were, look, as far as you were concerned, that's what you wanted.
Well, that's what we were after, but we never did get them. We were just, I know my friend went out and he got Stan Perman. He got the MM, he was on patrol, but he got shot up something terrible. So did the officer. But he committed suicide in 1981. And I thought to myself, what a terrible way to go. After what he suffered, that he went in a garage, went in his car, switched on the engine, put a pipe in, and his wife found him dead. And I thought, if only I could have got to him, you know, and, you know, spoke to him before.
And his name was?
Stan Pearman, his name was.
And when had he been wounded? Was it in this phase or was it later?
Stan was wounded, I think, either in this phase or I think later. Because I know we were all out and he said, I want volunteers to go on a patrol.
But that's when you're up here, is it?
And he said, you, Stan. And he's like the army, you and you. And Stan went out. It could have been me, you know, it could have been anybody, but it was Stan. And he was such a quiet, unreserved bloke. He wouldn't say boo to a goose, Stan, you know. If you ever put a picture of a man in war, you wouldn't pick Stan Pearman.
Now, so anything else about your time on the Samichong? You know, I know you weren't there long. You were about a month at most.
I mean, yeah.
Do you remember anything else about your time there before we moved back to reserve?
Yeah, well, this is the time when I was in the CP. I don't know if it was there or was when I came back. And
is it after you'd been wounded or before you'd been wounded?
No, this was after.
So that's later then, yeah.
And
hang on. So nothing else of the Samichong?
No, I'm not certain whether I was there or I was in reserve. I'm sure I was in reserve because I remember helping building this CP, and it was so well built.
Now, so you move into reserve. Is that when you moved to the Pike Hike Reservoir area?
Yeah, that way. We went into reserve.
And what were you doing there?
Well, we were just making sure. We tidied ourselves up. We started digging. We had to take over from the Greeks. We took over from the Greeks. And I'm sure he was in the front line. I'm sure. I can't, you know, it's something not quite right. You know. It's so long ago. Your mind gets mixed up between things. I'm sure we took over. No, that was after we took over from the Greeks. That's right. We built this CP. I remember.
Now, why were you building a CP? Well, was this in the reserve line? Because they were building a reserve.
Yeah,
line.
Emsden wanted us to build a very good CP. He said, if it ever gets hit, it's got to remain. It's got to stay. It's got to be there. You know, nothing can really destroy it if possible. So what we did. We dug right the way down and we found all these logs and we put it over the roof and we built a real, like a fortress. It was, I don't think anything could have got into this blooming CP. And as I say, it saved my life this night.
Yeah, it's a bit difficult to follow because you're in reserve, but you're still in artillery range.
Yeah.
So you went back to Pike Oak in March 52 and you were there until April. You were there a month.
Yeah. And then we moved out. We went into the back.
So what happened? I don't understand how you were building a command post.
Well, must have come out of the line and gone into the reserve. It must have been when we went into reserve because it definitely wasn't in the front line.
The CP was nowhere near the front line.
No, it was because when we go, you pull back 3 miles behind the line, don't you?
You were, yeah, that's right. Now, what happened with this CP?
Well, we built it. Yeah, I was on one night with the telephone exchange. I was on duty. And all of a sudden, I had this bang that shook like bloody mad. I thought, oh my God, what was that? You know, I didn't take any notice. And then when my 2 hours was up, they said, we didn't want to tell you. So I said, what's that? It took a direct hit while you were in it. And I thought, oh my God. He said, we were lucky, it was so well built that it withstood it wasn't a shell, it was a mortar shell that landed straight onto the roof. And it All I felt was, blah, 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 you know, like a shaking. I thought, oh my God, you know, must have been very close. He said, yeah, it was close, right on top of you. I thought, oh my God, I could have been dead. Yeah, it could have killed me. Anyway,